Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast number 137 for Friday, May 31st, 2013. Welcome to the show. I am Phil Nickinson, your host of this thing and the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and it is a beautiful Florida day. You can't see it unless you're in Florida. I can. It is so nice outside. I don't want to be here doing this, but I'm gonna. We will soldier on. It's all right. No, I do want to be here because it's actually been, what, guys, 2 weeks, 3 weeks since we've done a normal podcast. We had Google I.O. Yeah. We had CTIA.
At least a couple, yes.
Yeah. So we are all back together in our respective, well, countries. And time to do a real show. So we are live. We got chat room going on. And we have Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
Speaking of country, howdy, folks.
We got Andrew Martonic in Seattle.
How's it going, everybody?
And from, well, mostly the middle of the night, not quite the middle of the night yet, I guess, in England, we have Alex Dobie.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome back, guys. Everybody survive our respective shows. I had Jerry with me at Google I.O., Martonic came to CTIA, and Alex has been soldiering on from home. Yeah, everybody's that excited? Great.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you were there.
So it's been a busy few weeks. I feel like we're just starting to get out of the silly season now, and we're not even fully out of it yet.
Oh, God, you said that out loud, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know better than that. No, you never, ever say it's not going to be busy now, it's going to slow down. You never say that out loud.
I don't know. I don't see anything major being released in the next 2 weeks. We have at least 2 weeks of calm until the next crazy thing happens, I think.
You say so. I don't know, man. So, you want to recap what's been going on? I mean, Google I.O. we all know about, right? We know what we got out of that, I guess. I take it back because we're kind of getting the fallout of it right now, right? I want to get this out of the way. I just want to talk Mobile 13 real quick so I don't have to interrupt the really cool stuff with that. If you guys haven't seen, we finally announced this TM13 stuff this week. It's called Talk Mobile 13, like we've been basically saying this whole time, and it's an expansion on the old smartphone round robin that we used to do. It's going to run, I don't know how many weeks, like 50 weeks. How many weeks are in a year? Double that, and that's how many, not that bad. It's going to run a lot of weeks for a few months. It's going to be really good stuff. I'm actually seeing it all come together almost, you know, as soon as you guys do, but it's going to be really well done. It's going to be a lot of fun, and the big deal is we get to hear from you guys, you know, in even a greater sense than we do now. So not just normal comments, but throwing comments together, and the discussion is going to come across all the sites, not just from the AC camp or not just from Crackberry. So it's going to be really cool. And it's weird because I've kind of felt like talent for all this. Like, they tell me when to show up, and I show up and I talk and I write, and that's it. So I'm not doing really any of the production. So it's been fun for me to watch it all come together too. So I hope everybody enjoys it. You know, really looking forward to the feedback and see how it goes. You guys excited?
Phil,
yes.
Yeah. But I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have one of those fancy riders about how many purple grapes and green M&Ms and stuff you're allowed to have in your trailer?
Well, I have that now.
You bastard.
No, and if you haven't listened to, we did a podcast on Thursday kind of explaining all this. And I know some people are worried because it says sponsored by BlackBerry. Don't worry about it, guys. I mean, look, you're going to see, you know, some people holding Blackberries, but it's no more subliminal than that. It's not like, you know, we're saying Blackberry is the greatest, and hey, by the way, there's Android, and we really love Android. Blackberry is the greatest, and no, but it's none of that. So don't worry about it. You know, somebody had to pay for this thing, and I'm glad that Blackberry stepped up and did it because that lets me talk crap about them and then not feel bad about it at all.
And it shows that they care about more than just themselves.
Well, that's also true, actually. I didn't think about it like that.
Oh, they love Android apps.
True. BlackBerry does love Android apps. So that said, we're having our launch party this coming week in New York City. If you haven't gotten your tickets, I think you have till midnight tonight to enter to try to win one, because actually, I think we're all sold out. I think they released another block today or yesterday. I forget. But if you're in New York and you're coming, cool. Looking forward to seeing you guys next week. I'll be up there for a couple days and it'll be fun. So with that, let's get to the actual news. Where do you guys want to start? Because some of this stuff actually comes from last week and the week before, but it's carried over into this week. Do you want to talk this HTC One Google Edition? Because I know we're all still trying to wrap our little heads around it, right?
Mm.
It was rumored to come what was it? I guess last week while we were at CTIA, we all started getting semi-official confirmation. That comes from, you know, on the heels of Russell Holly from Geek.com had the scoop a couple weeks ago. He said, no, it's coming, guys, and he was the first one to get it, so good call there. It's an HTC One without Sense, basically, with stock Android, right, and Beats, and that's it. I mean, it's weird. Like, everybody's struggling to figure this out. My only real question is, how well does it work with the button scheme, and how well does the camera work without all of the HTC configurations? Alex, what do you know about this?
I mean, as far as we can tell, the buttons, I mean, we kind of have confirmation of this, the buttons are going to work the same way as they do on the Sense version. So you're going to have back, you're going to have home, and you're going to have to do combinations of, I think it's long press for Google Now, double tap to get to the task switcher. And if you're in an old app, like, say, Facebook, that has a legacy menu button, you're going to have to lose a portion of your screen, and that's going to suck, just like it does now on the Sense version. The bigger question, I mean, more than how it's going to function, I think, and I'm sure that this is an official, this is official vanilla Android, not a custom ROM. So all of the time when you're dealing with custom ROMs and you bring, you base it on AOSP and then you bring it to a device, you don't have the official support there from the manufacturer, from, you know, anyone basically. So the camera often suffers as a result of that. I think if you have HTC working with Google, they're probably going to do a decent job of, if nothing else, just the basic process of taking pictures. You're not going to get Zoe's, you're not going to get video highlights. I think it's going to work reasonably well. It's not going to be this kind of Frankenphone that I think a lot of people are worried about. But for me, the bigger question is, why does this phone exist? Why do either of these phones exist? The fact that there's two of them now suggests it's a Google thing, not, you know, Samsung didn't go to Google and say, we really want a Galaxy S4 with vanilla Android on it. It's going to be Google that's approached the manufacturers. And I think we have a whole load of weird and wonderful theories as to why that might be.
I agree 100%. I think this is a Google thing. Jerry, I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago when the Samsung one was announced at Google I.O., and you and I, you know, hashed it out for a while, and I'm still not sure I came up with the answer. Are we all still in agreement, Jerry, that this really isn't a Nexus device, even though they're calling it a Nexus experience?
Right. I mean, well, until Google comes out and redefines what Nexus means again.
Right.
Right now, they made a clear distinction that this provides the Nexus experience. They didn't call it a Nexus device, which is good because, quite frankly, especially with the One, you need a lot of involvement from HTC just to make everything work. Mm-hmm. If you just compile Android from source and stick it on there, it's going to suck. I mean, we already know Beats is going to be there. That's not part of Android's open source project. I assume to make the camera even work, you have to activate the ImageSense chip somehow, which is all proprietary. So HTC is involved. I'm sure on the Samsung side, all the sensors, the S stuff may not be there. You know, we know that's not going to be in the ROM,
right?
But I don't think those sensors are just not going to work. So that indicates a lot of Samsung involvement. So they're working together on it.
What about, I saw a Twitter conversation yesterday with Shin Yi, who, you know, knows, if you know anything about him, he knows his stuff, right? Talking about how performance might not be as good on the HTC One Google experience. We need a better name for all these.
Well, I think the official name, the official name that HTC gave it yesterday, and it's such a clumsy name, is the HTC One with Nexus User Experience, which is like a Sprint Samsung Galaxy S, whatever it was.
Andrew, would you spend $600? And remember, that's how much these cost. Now, that's off contract, and when you take a 2-year contract into consideration, you know, things even out a little bit. But Andrew, would you pony up $600 for something that at this point is kind of untested? Now that it's all going to be unlocked, right? And Andrew, how many people do you think are going to buy these just to tinker with them and put custom ROMs on them anyway?
And that's the real question here, is because it's not going to have the exposure that a carrier branded and carrier subsidized version will in the first place. So what number of people already are going to just say, okay, I'll buy the subsidized version and hack it anyways, versus buying the one that's unlocked for $600. it's kind of an interesting proposition. That's a very, very small subset of even the hacker people that are going to buy it.
The thing for me is there has to be a reason why Google did this. I mean, Google does things that don't make sense all of the time, and we try and work out why. But it seems like the actual user is the last person being served by these Google phones. It makes no difference to Google or HTC or Samsung if they sell, say, 50,000 of these each, which, being full price, being in the US, not having any carrier involvement, that's probably about what they'll sell. It won't. It'll be a drop in the bucket for everyone.
If you noticed, the HTC One that they're going to sell through Google, I assume, on the Play Store, it's just the unlocked version with a different software.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell by the radio bands. Nothing special was made for these phones by either Samsung or HTC.
Yeah, I want to bring something up. Sparking Cyanide in the chat room here says he thinks it's interesting how HTC is said to be making the stock build available to existing HTC One owners. Stop. Everybody needs to stop right there, all right? I was on that email thread that was going through, and I think a whole lot is being read into that that's not quite there yet. You know, it could be the seeds being planted for that sort of thing. But you know, let's not, and at the same time, I was shown this, I think, to Alex or Jerry yesterday, I forget who, on the Android, I think it was the Android build community, you know, like the old Google group, JBQ, who runs that, you know, flat out said, look, I'm not going to say anything about, you know, whether this stuff is going to be AOSP, because right now I don't know, and things have a habit of changing in the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, and they will change in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and everybody's just going to get confused if I do say something and it changes. So everybody needs to like slow down a little bit on some of this stuff, because I think everybody, you know, I think JBQ is right. I think we're right. I think the stuff came together really, really quickly, and it's just not all hashed out yet. And like Martonic said a minute ago, and I think it got lost in the background, you know, like they're not even 100% sure on the names, it sounds like, right? So I don't know if some RUU is going to be released that will get your current HTC One, you know, to not even AOSP, but to some sort of stock ROM.
That's all up to the lawyers.
Right.
That's what we have to remember.
I'm not even too worried about that, because if you look at the hardware similarities between the carrier versions or between these Google versions, it's going to be, for people who know what they're doing, relatively easy to get it hacked off and put onto the carrier versions anyway.
Yep. Yeah.
So even if it isn't out there officially, then there are going to be plenty of really good unofficial ways to get this on whatever HTC One or whatever GS4 you have.
Right. But right now, nothing has been announced. You know, HTC has not said they're releasing some sort of stock ROM for current HTC Ones. I was on that email list, guys. There's a reason why we didn't publish that. And that's because I think people are reading too much into that right now. So just patience. I know it's tough, but patience. Yeah, I want to go around the table, though. You guys know how I feel about TouchWiz. I'm not a TouchWiz fan, and I have plenty of issues with Sense 5. You know, between, you know, the lock screen's not the greatest for me. It's okay. The app drawer, I think, is atrocious. The menu system, you know, can be kind of a pain sharing things, because there are 15 different ways to share things between applications, between Sense. What else? You know, the camera app, I think, could be better, right? So, I mean, as much as I hate TouchWiz, I'm not that in love with Sense either, right? But at the same time, I don't think I want to use stock Android on an HTC One. I want the camera feed. I really want the Zoes and highlights. For me, that is a big deal. I'm curious to see how it sounds as well, and I know it'll have Beats Audio, but I want to see, you know, I want to hear for myself if that experience changes, because those speakers has made a big difference, right?
Yep.
So, Jerry, are you willing to give up those things to go to a stock ROM on this device? And for me, again, the HTC One was designed with Sense. You know, it was designed for Sense. It was designed for HTC's implementation of Android, right? From the hardware.
Exactly. If I want the so-called stock ROM right here, I mean, I've got it on the Nexus. It's going to be the exact same experience, maybe a little faster. Maybe not, and we've discussed that before. You know, who knows how much of those rumors are true, but I can pick up a Nexus for $300. Why would I want to buy an HTC, a neutered HTC One. That's the way I see it.
It's crippled.
Or a neutered Galaxy S4.
It's crippled. Remember how people used to love phones?
Yep.
You know, they'd call them crippled if they were missing like one little feature some other phone had. And I hated that. I hated when people called it that. I'm not sure I'd call this crippled. But
now, the one thing that would change my mind is if they could sell a Sprint or Verizon version. I would be all for it because, unfortunately, if you're on Sprint or Verizon, you don't have a choice of a current stock Google Android phone. And this would be a close, you know, facsimile. But I just don't – I don't get how this benefits the users at all. But choice is good, so I'm not going to say don't do it. I just don't see it for me.
Andrew, what about you?
I think Jerry really – pretty much nailed it there. It's the people that are looking for the stock Android experience or vanilla or whatever you feel like calling it nowadays, you can be completely served pretty much, you know, 99% of the way served by a Nexus 4 for half the price. It's and the people that are interested in custom ROMs, you know, they can buy the current unlocked one or the current subsidized carrier ones and put a ROM on there too. And you know, have the mix of experiences. So I'm really struggling to see who's going to buy this and get something more out of it that they couldn't already do on their own now.
Alex?
Yeah, I was, I think it, what it comes down to for me, and it's, this is my personal preference, putting stock Android on an HTC One diminishes it, whereas for me, putting stock on a GS4 would probably fix a lot of my issues with it. So with a GS4, I'm not using a lot of the, you know, the fancy features that they're showing in ads, like you know, wave over the phone to switch pages or whatever, and the hover touch stuff. One of the things that bugs me about that phone is the lag that we've all talked about. And I think there's probably potential, if it's not doing so much touch with stuff in the background, that maybe some of that lag's going to disappear. But if we're talking about the HTC One, then the way I enjoy using that phone is with Sense. It was designed for Sense. We've had it speculated that HTC licensed a lot of this, whether it's touchscreen software or whatever they license from Apple, is what makes that phone so fast. And that's probably at least part of it. And that's not going to be there when you have vanilla Android on it, because the licensing doesn't apply to that. So I would use it on the GS4. I wouldn't use it on the HTC One.
We're going to, I think I agree with you guys. Although, I mean, that said, I enjoyed using CyanogenMod so much more on the Galaxy S3 than I did, you know, TouchWiz. So, you know, we're going to buy these. We're going to test them out. I saw some headlines yesterday saying Google just announced the perfect phone. You know, the HTC One was stock. It's the perfect phone, but never mind. None of us has actually used it yet. So we're going to do that crazy thing where we buy these phones and try them out and write about them and talk to you guys about them. So we'll see. I'm curious. I'm really curious to see how the experience is and if I like it better or worse. I know you can do it now with, you know, custom ROMs, but
I think we need to try really hard to get the Google Edition S4 into Alex's hands.
Yep.
After what he said, now I'm very curious to see.
Well, we'll see, Jerry. I mean, the fact is the hardware on the Google Edition is very similar to the S4 I have here. Yep. So I'm probably not going to have any trouble getting the ROM onto that.
True. So we'll see. The HTC One is available, what is it, June 26th? Or yep. Is that the...
I believe that's the same.
I think they're both available for June 26th.
Yeah, June 26th. Cool. For, what, about $600, at least in the U.S. These are U.S. only right now, by the way, guys, so sorry.
Yep.
There's, again, like Jerry said, thank the lawyers, because that's how that worked. So we got those. The other new device we should talk about briefly, we don't need to say too much, is this one I'm holding in my hand right here. You see it? You like it? Where's my other one? The white Nexus 4.
I will trade you two black Nexus 4s for one white Nexus 4.
I thought this thing was supposed to come out June 10th with Android 4.3. Guess not, huh? No, so I've got it here, and look, it's a Nexus 4. The only difference I've been able to find is that the sides, instead of being that soft touch rubber, are just a matte plastic. I like the rubber a lot more. But I think we're all in agreement, white rubber would just mar up really. It would look horrible after.
We'll have white rubber on the IO edition. Yeah. We'll have white rubber on the IO edition Nexus 7 from last year, and we all know how that turned out.
Right. So, you know, good call there. I like it. It looks nice. And, you know, it's odd it took them so long to put it out. It's odd they kind of did it so secretly, but not really. I don't know.
They totally copied Apple.
Oh, totally. Stop it. Stop it. No, it's nice. I think Alex and I were both picking up the Nexus 7 yesterday and using it because we're both, like, at the same time. You know, I kind of miss this phone. And I do kind of miss this phone. Yeah, yeah. I think I am starting to tell the difference between 720p and 1080p finally after going back to 720 for being on 1080 for so long. It's not to say it looks bad. I just think I can tell.
For me, it's more the colors.
Yeah,
I think you notice the colors compared to like modern displays are a little bit brighter, a little bit more vivid. Yeah. The Nexus was always a little bit more muted, I think.
So that kind of wants to lead me into, we did our list of best Android phones you can buy as of June, you know, as of right now. And I don't think the list was all that surprising to anybody, and it's certainly something flying around in here. They're certainly open to debate, and you know, we still argue amongst ourselves, but HTC One was on top for us. Galaxy S4 was number two, and let me hear from you guys again, but for me, the difference was the S4 is just laggy in places that I wouldn't expect it to be laggy,
yeah.
A phone of that caliber. And the storage options are just nil right now, and that's no good, right? I mean, otherwise, it's still a damn good phone. I think it has a better all-around camera than just about anything out there.
But unfortunately, the camera experience is deeply marred because the gallery is so freaking laggy.
Right.
That's my huge complaint with it, the gallery.
Yes, the gallery app is horrible. And,
the issues with the gallery app come down to all the stuff that hooks into it. If you turn that off, it's actually not too bad. But for most people, they're going to want all their accounts hooked in there, and that's going to give them a bad and laggy experience.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, just me setting it up like I normally set up a phone for my daily use, it was horrible. It was not good.
Yeah.
So you had that. What was it? We said the Optimus G Pro for our best, I'm not going to say the P word, but our best large screen device. and unfortunately, you can only get it on AT&T here in the States. Hell, they just launched it, you know, more in Asia, like, what, yesterday. So, I mean, it's not a widespread device, but I think it's better than the Note 2. I think Alex agrees with me. I think Andrew Vaca,
who did it. A little faster, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's a really nice device. You know, hopefully we'll see more, but probably not. Honorable mentions, Xperia Z and ZL. Those are good. Nexus 4, again, I think if anyone's going to say, Phil, I've got $300 to spend on a phone, I don't want to spend $600, like, what should I get? The Nexus 4 is right up there. I mean, for an off-contract phone for $300, $350.
See, and especially...
Go ahead, Alex.
Especially if the LTE issue isn't, you know, if it's not relevant for you, if you're not in an LTE area, if there's no prospect of LTE arriving within the lifetime of that phone.
Or if you have really good T-Mobile in the States.
Yeah, sure.
I will take what Phil said a step further and say, if you could only buy one Android phone, buy the Nexus 4.
Yeah.
I agree that for those of us that have access to all three, the one's probably the best choice. I hate to use the word best.
Right.
But the Nexus 4 is Android personified right now.
Yeah.
Well, the best way to put it is that it has the longest lifespan from the time you purchase it, probably. As far as unofficial software support and official software support, you're going to be able to hold on to the Nexus 4 for a lot longer.
I wouldn't dismiss the other two, though, just because aside from official support, and I think Samsung stepped up their game a lot in that respect in the past year, HTC kind of getting there. They had some issues last year. But third-party support, there are a ton of these devices out there, and there are going to be a lot of people developing for it. There are going to be a lot of devices in hand, and there's going to be a big audience for that stuff.
Yeah, I was speaking specifically to the $300 kind of price point.
Oh, level. Sure.
You're going a lot farther with the Nexus 4 than anything else. But yeah, of course, there's so many, you know, there's going to be tens of millions of Galaxy S4 sold. So
we slipped the Galaxy S3 into this list as well. And I'm glad we did that. I actually just recommended it to somebody a few weeks ago, you know, because she didn't want to spend the money that you have to spend for Galaxy S4. And I get that argument. So I said, you know what? I said, look at the Galaxy S3. You know, it's what, $50, $100, whatever it is now. And it's still a really good phone. And in fact, because I've had it sitting out while I've been, you know, finally writing up the Galaxy S4. I like the feel of the Galaxy S3 better, I think. It's got just a little more curve at the back, and I just like the way it feels in the hand better.
I'll come right out and say I had a better experience from the Galaxy S3 than I did the Galaxy S4 by a mile.
Well, we sent you the Sprint one, so that was part of your problem.
Well, I would agree with that. I think, I mean, it's been a while since I used the S3, but I used the Note 2 towards the back end of last year. The Note 2, in every way, is a faster phone than the S4, and that's just kind of strange and confusing.
What else? I mean, we'll do a tablet list at some point, I guess. In fact, we've got a question in the voicemails here in a few minutes, so maybe we'll do that for next week. What else should we
Galaxy have? S4 Mini Galaxy and all S4 the other stuff they're going to be having next month. So we've got a Samsung event scheduled for the 20th of June. We're all expecting the S4 Mini, which is leaked all over the place, to kind of make its appearance there. It was announced beforehand. So, it's official now. And I'm kind of thinking they got it out of the way in a way that, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's another mid-range Samsung phone, which kind of leaves the way open to have two far more interesting devices next month. The S4 Active, which is kind of a ruggedized, waterproof, dust-resistant thing, and the S4 Zoom, which has been rumored recently, supposedly has an optical zoom on the back, which, again, just bizarre world in terms of specs there.
Now, what do we think about this S4 Active? Is that a real dick move from Samsung doing that a month later? Or is it just me that feels that way?
No. And here's why. I mean, what was the one on AT&T? We had the S4, and then it was the S2, and then the S Galaxy
Skyrocket.
Skyrocket,
AT&T that never happened.
Right. So, I mean, we've seen this happen before. I think they're just pumping out so many phones, and the carrier's saying yes. Oh, wait a minute, no. So, I mean, it's just a bit of a mess. But yeah, it does not surprise me in the slightest. Because remember, they're not selling to people who say, well, wait a minute, you just put out that other phone. They're selling somebody who comes in the store and says, I need a phone.
And yeah, I don't think there's a whole, I mean, there are different target audiences for the Active, right? The Active is, I mean, they've done something which not a lot of manufacturers have done. They've kept the internals more or less the same from the regular S4 to the Active. They've not released some kind of pared down version with slower chips and stuff. As far as we can tell, it's still Snapdragon 600 in there. It's still a 1080p screen. The camera maybe has been knocked down to 8 megapixels, but whatever. On the other hand, you've got the design, which has kind of been changed a bit. You've got physical buttons. You've got what looks like kind of rubberized areas, top and bottom. So you're going to have a vastly different experience with this if you pick it up. It's not just going to be a better version of the S4.
Well, I didn't mean it was a better version. I just meant it was a different version that a lot of people would have chosen had it been available.
Yeah. Maybe. The Zoom's the interesting one for me, though.
Yeah, I really want to see how
they've managed to do that.
Remind me again what that is.
That is supposedly, specs-wise, looking like about kind of the same level as the S4 Mini. So I think it's a Snapdragon 400 or something in there. QHD screen, I think 13 or 16 megapixel camera with this optical zoom stuff on it. Supposedly, I think 10 times optical zoom.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of interesting from going looking at the Galaxy camera, thinking that they've taken a lot of what was in there and turned it into a phone. Right? You've got optical zoom, you've got the larger sensor, you've got all this other stuff, and presumably the camera app, if you have optical zoom, it's going to be of the level of the Galaxy camera, would have thought.
Samsung's big enough and has the manufacturing prowess, they can say, well, let's dip our toe in the water and see how this works. If people really like it, boom, we've got a new product line.
It's probably not going to be a great experience in the first one they release, but it'll be an example of, oh, look, we can fit optical zoom into something that's, you know, not 40 millimeters thick.
That is a good point.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well said. <sir. laughs>
Yes. I agree with you.
What else this week? Hey, so Gmail's getting a really big update and I hate it. I'm not. You know. So right now we have the update on the web. So we have all these tabs in your inbox, and I just turned them off right before we started this podcast. I tried it for a couple days, and I'm not sure if it was just slow in Mailplane or if it's slow in the native web. Mailplane is just a wrapper for a Mac app, if you don't know. But I just turned it off. I need my mail just right in front of me. I can't be using tabs. Sorry. I tried.
I already have tabs. They're called labels.
Well, yeah, then there's that. But I don't even use... I can't even do that. I have to have everything right there. So, I don't know. I mean, the update to the mobile app, I think it's going to be interesting. So, we saw they had given a little teaser of how the actually, what is it? They're getting rid of the system bar or the action bar? The action bar, I guess, down at the bottom. That's going to all get moved into a little pull-out drawer thing.
Well, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Expect to see that on all the Google apps. Right. I mean, we were there. At Google I.O., they pretty much said that that's going to happen. Yeah. That's how they want menus and settings and options to be handled. So look for it to happen.
Well, it'll be interesting to see... with the web interface, you can, like Phil said, you can just turn everything back off, back to the regular version. And on the mobile side, I bet that it's probably going to be stuck there, and you can choose not to use them, but they're going to be there. And I wonder how that's going to influence the way people use it on the web too. Just so you can have a consistent experience between the two. If you have things being thrown into folders on mobile, but they're just all in the big main inbox on your web, it's just going to get confusing.
I would hope that on mobile, I don't force that decision on you.
That's right. I'll be using the other email account with IMAP.
Really?
Those tabs and me, that lasted about 5 minutes before I spent 5 minutes wondering what the hell I was looking at, and then I had to shut it off.
Well, it's just for people who get a lot of email and already have filters and folders and labels set up. It's just another, obfuscation of your email coming in. It just gets confusing. But for the average person that doesn't get several hundred emails a day, it's probably going to be an easy way to sort it out.
Yeah, maybe that's the point. Maybe we're not the target audience for this, because I guess we get so much email that we already have systems in place to keep it all bolted down and labeled and organized and whatever. But I guess the average person probably doesn't have that.
True.
I'm my target audience, and I'm the only one I care about.
Everything else sucks.
What else we got going on? That's all I had on the list.
X-Phone.
Oh, yeah.
X-Phone.
So, was it D11, I believe they're up to? All things D, the Wall Street Journal's online arm, was doing their annual conference out in L.A., and was it Dennis Woodside out of the X-Phone? Said, yep. That's
Dr. Regina. Oh, God. I looked up her name.
Okay. You're right. It wasn't Woodside. So, anyway.
No, it was both. Nope.
Oh, okay. And they said, yes, our next phone is going to be called the X Phone, or it's going to be called Moto X, which I love that name. It's a great name. It plays off the history of the old Droid phones, right? We had the Motorola Droid X, which, back in the day was an awesome phone. And I love that name. It's just a great continuation. I think it pays homage to the past, and that's good.
And if you write it out, it also can be read as motocross.
That's true. Or Motox.
You get that injected, right?
Sorry. Really? No, so I love the name. I mean, look, they didn't really tell us that much more about it. It's going to use all these sensors, and it's going to do this and do that. I mean, most of what they said it's going to do was stuff they just announced at I.O., right?
Yeah.
The interesting thing is I think they announced stuff to do with power management, with having a separate with having separate silicon for that.
That gets me all excited.
Yeah, that's...
And right away.
Yeah. And that goes back to what Larry Page had been saying. I think it was the Q2. No, what are we in now? We're in Q2 now. Was it the Q1 earnings call? I forget the earnings call. And he said, look, here are the major points of a smartphone, right? You need to be able to use it all day without having to charge it, period. And you need to be able to drop it without it, dying on you, without it being so fragile it just shatters. So obviously they've been paying a lot of attention to the battery. So it would not surprise me in the least to see this thing easily run all day on a 3,000 milliamp hour battery or something, right? So that is good. You can always have more battery life. Motorola has come farther than anybody else doing that with non-removable batteries. You think that's going to finally end the debate over Martonic? Do you think, you know, at some point people are going to be like, you know what? Don't have to have a removable battery anymore.
It seems like a lot of people have already come to that conclusion that they like the trade-offs of the better design, and you actually can get a larger battery in there when it's not removable. Mm-hmm. But some people that are still holding on to being able to remove it and swap it out, I feel like they're just never going to get on board with, even when it gets to be 3,500 milliamp or 4,000 milliamp, they're still going to say that they would prefer to have two removable 2,500, which still never made really much sense to me. But I mean, we've already seen with the Razer Max HD, right? That's like 3,300 milliamp. I don't think anybody is, you know, dying to have a removable battery in that phone. So if they have that size cell and then also maybe some more power management with this different chip, you know, I don't see why anybody's going to be able to complain about it if their claims are even close to being true.
Hey, Alex.
I think we needed something like this for a while, haven't we? We've needed some kind of breakthrough or some kind of new thinking when it comes to power management, because the answer up until now has always just been you increase the number.
Right.
You have you have more cells, or you have cells with high capacity. This is something different, which I think could be quite big in the next year or so.
Hey, Alex, you remember like 20 minutes ago when you said, I think things are going to start slowing down. It's not going to be a cool summer.
Yeah, I think things are going to start, for the next 2 weeks.
You know, screw you.
Give me these 2 weeks, Phil.
Fine, I guess. Anything else going on? Any cool apps lately anybody's been playing with?
Google Play Music just got updated with some cool stuff.
I'm very impressed with Google Play Music right now. As much as I miss having it on my Nexus Q very, very much, and I don't think Google has given up in the living room yet. I really don't. But yeah, Google Play Music is doing really well for me. All Access is doing really well for me. You still have a month if you want to get on at the $7.99 a month price point. After the end of June, it jumps up to $10 a month. But I'm liking the hell out of it, guys. It's working for me. It's got a great catalog. Just so many things to listen to that I might not otherwise download and pay for. So I'm happy with it. The new app is good, I think. The only hiccup I've had, and I just need to play with it more, and maybe I'm doing it wrong, is when I'm browsing Google Play on the web, and I go to an artist page or an album or whatever, I don't see if there's a way to add it to my library from there. Am I just doing it wrong?
I believe there is.
Yeah, if you click the album art in the upper right corner, there's three dots.
One at a time, boys. One at a time, boys. One at a time, boys. I know you can't hear each other.
Jerry.
If the button that says add to my library is not there, if you click the album art and click the three dots in the upper right corner,
this is on the web?
It should be in that menu, yeah.
I don't have the three
dots. Because I do all my searching on the web for them.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't have the three dots. It's giving me... I mean, it's weird. It's almost like it doesn't realize that I have All Access on, maybe?
Damn it. Now you know what I've got to do.
You got
to
try it.
I've got to I have got to interrupt the playlist I have running.
Chat room, is it just me? They don't know.
Name an album that you're looking at, Phil.
I'm looking at 2 Chainz, Chainz, because that's what I clicked on. Let me try another one. This is a good radio. All right, Prince, 1999. I got to be able to stream that well. It's Prince that it's on here at all.
That won't work for me because I already have that one. But 2 Chainz, let's look. Based on a true story.
Try Blake Shelton.
Click the album art. Right in front of me, it has a big button that says add to my library.
I do not have that. I will log out and log back in and see if that...
Now, even if that button wasn't there, mm-hmm. if I click the album art...
Right.
In the upper right corner, I've got the three-button menu.
Nope.
The third item in that list is add album to my library.
It hates me.
Yep. I'm running the HTML5 version of Google Play Music. Maybe that's why.
No. I'm just talking Google Play. I'm not talking Google Play Music.
Oh, see, that's would have made a big difference if I realized that.
Yes.
I'd do it through
Google. Yeah, I mean, because I've got Google Play open so much anyway, right? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I expect it to be able to make that leap from Google Play to Google Play Music. And there's just, I don't see an option to do that, which is kind of weird.
I've never tried it on the Google Play website. Now I see what you're saying.
Yeah, try it. And maybe I'm just doing it weird and I should be searching all this from Google Play Music. But it's, I mean, it's almost like they have two separate stores at that point, you know, or like one's a store and one's, you know, it's just odd. And maybe I'm the one who's doing it wrong. I don't know.
Well, you know what? The way I'm thinking, I'll bet the Google Play website is probably for people that want to buy an album.
Right.
And people that want to use All Access are using the player like you do on the phone.
Yeah.
And on your phone, you can't add to your library from Google Play. You can only do that from the app. So maybe they're thinking the same way.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe I think you're right. I think maybe I'm just doing it weird. I'll get emails if I am, if that's the case. Okay, well, in that case, I think we're done for the podcast this week. No voicemails, no emails. Sorry, guys. We'll catch up next week. Jerry, you want to get us out of here?
Sure. We're here every week, and if you want to send a voicemail or an email, you send it to podcast@androidcentral.com. And you can get us all on Google Plus, which is the only really cool way to find us. Search our names, just open up Google Plus and search for Jerry or Alex or Andrew or Phil. And as always, the show is brought to you by shopandroid.com. And you can, of course, go to shopandroid.com to look at the website. But if you'd rather speak to a human being, you can call 888-468-6158.
Cool. And if you want to send us a voicemail, which I swear we'll get to play eventually, record them on your phone, record them on your computer, email them in, podcast@androidcentral.com. So cool, that's it. Kind of a short one this week, but that's all right. We are going to have to adjust the time of the live show probably over the next few weeks. I honestly don't know when yet. We got to figure it out because we have to work around this Talk Mobile stuff. But the plus side of that is hopefully we will have a better system up and running soon. So hang tight. We're working on it. Appreciate it. Alex, Jerry, Andrew, thank you guys.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Uncle Phil.
All right.
Later.
Catch y'all next time.